for leading us team and everyone who takes a part in the service. Christmas is a time of wonder, isn't it? Or it should be. Right? There's a wonder what's going on. I wonder what's in the box underneath the tree with my name on it. I wonder what the response will be for the as people open the gifts I'm giving them. But it's a much bigger wonder than just this. It's a wonder of what's going on here. We've been just singing about it. Emmanuel, God with us. It's a wonder, as in an awe and wonder, that more than we can comprehend. God existing. God coming in the form of a baby. Like it's startling. It's unheard of. It's a once in a history event. As we consider the characteristics demonstrated by characters near the time of Jesus Christ's incarnation, which are countercultural when compared to our current context. We don't have to look very far, right? What's going on in our world is anything but peace on earth and goodwill toward man. Look at the news. It's radically different than that. But as we've walked through some of these characters, we looked at Joseph several weeks ago. And we looked at Mary, the shepherds, which we've sung some about here this morning. This morning, as we look at the Magi, the wise guys, no, the wise men. I mean, they're unique stories. And they're unique ways that they lived out these characteristics. But by now, you know what these four characteristics are, right? They've been the same every week. But God works through these similar characteristics, because without humility, we're not... There's a sense of pride, and we're opposing God, and we can't really hear Him to understand, and we certainly have no intention of heeding and obeying or honoring Him. That's why some of the characters involved in the Christmas story are not on this list this year, because we're looking at ones that are countercultural, ones that God worked through powerfully. And so that same outline, as I was studying these characters, I had different words, but I realized, wow, they all lived out a humbleness before God, though they did it in different ways. They all heard, though even different ways there. We'll see this morning, these guys heard in a very different way from the previous characters, but they all lived this out. And there's an element of obedience. They heeded and they honored God. They worshiped. And though they did it differently, they flowed together. And I realized, wow, we're dealing with very similar characteristics that God works through. But I have another wonder. I wonder what difference this will make. I wonder what difference this Advent and this Christmas will make in our lives. Or come 2018, we just continue on the same way we've been continuing on through 2017. Or is there any adjustment? Have we grown and been changed and challenged, transformed by the power of the Spirit, Emmanuel, God with us, that we have grown in some way at least, where potentially we're more humble, more able and attentive to hear God, responsive in obeying and heeding what He has said, responding to it, realize what He has said is for our good, and we follow Him as Lord and Savior. And we go out and we praise Him, we honor Him, we glorify Him. Will it make any difference? Well, as we go into the text, I have one final wonder. I wonder which of these characteristics are most noticeable in the lives of the wise men, of the Magi. Would you join me in prayer before we read this scripture together? Heavenly Father, these characteristics are common, but they had a unique response, each of these characters. May we be responsive to You, God. We say we are Yours, that you are our Savior and Lord. May that be a reality in our lives. And may you challenge us through the lives of these Magi. We pray in your name. Amen. So we're looking at Matthew 2, 1 to 12. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who was born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him." Now we sing, "We three kings of Orient are, we travel," but it, actually, if we really look at this, it's likely they weren't kings. But they did have an element of power, these magi. There seemed to be a combination of wise men and priests, probably from Persia. And they combined an astronomical observation with astrological speculation. So what does this thing that they've seen? They've seen a star rise. A new star was often connected to the birth of a king, a legitimate king. As one commentator puts it this way, the Magi's question to Herod emphasizes the word born. And the grammatical construction, if you look at the Greek, which I don't know much about, but I can study some of these guys that do know more about it, it points to it that they're clearly asking about who the child is, where he has been born, who has a legitimate claim to the throne by virtue of his birth. Think about that for a minute. That's powerful. They go to Herod, the king at the time, and ask him where the king, the legitimate king, is. Without saying it, they're saying, "You're the illegitimate king." That's pretty bold, right? Who's going to go over to North Korea. Go over to North Korea and tell Kim Jong-un, "You're the illegitimate leader," right? Herod has already demonstrated his character. He doesn't have godly character. But they go before him with this message. Where's the legitimate king? When these guys obeyed, when they saw, and they were humble enough, and they obeyed an authority greater than any earthly authority. And they went, not because they had all their armies with them and could protect themselves. They just went to Herod. And then point out that he's the illegitimate king. Where's the legitimate king? He's been born. We saw his sign. I think that's amazing. So the Magi's question is a natural inference from just their observation. So they've seen something change in the stars, a new star or a star rising in some way. It seems like it would be more like a new star. And they say they've come to worship him. This isn't even their king. They're from a different land. But they recognize somehow God's revealed to them something huge is going on here, and they've come to worship. Then we can move on to verse 3. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. It probably doesn't mean every person in Jerusalem, but we look at the next phrase, and assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, it's probably all the leaders of Jerusalem were upset with this. And this is a deeply troubled. This is somebody's trying to take my kingdom from me upset. This isn't just a mild annoyance here. He's deeply troubled. And so he assembles all the chief priests and the scribes of the people. And he inquires of them where the Christ was to be born. Now, I don't know. Maybe all you guys are way smarter than me, probably. But when I first started going to church, and I was hearing different stories of the Bible. This was from age 14 to age 20 when I accepted Christ. In those years, because I knew what church I was in. I'm hearing some Old Testament stories, New Testament stories. I had it in my mind that the Magi kind of followed this star like in the Old Testament when the people were following God in the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. I kind of had that in my mind. But actually, that's not what went on. They saw this new star. It rises. And they know a new king has been born. But they come to Jerusalem. And they're going, where? This is an honest question. It's not like they're following the star. Okay, we know where we're going and we're just going to stop here out of courtesy. This star is just up there and they don't know where to go. They really need to ask. So it's not like they followed this moving star across these hundreds or thousands of miles, however they came from. We'll move on to verse 5. They told him, so this is a response to their question, where is the one, the king? Where is the king who has been born king of the Jews? They told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it was written by the prophet. See, these magi that come, they don't have the Old Testament, the Torah, and the prophets to go by. They've just seen a star. So they've responded what they've received. So they go and ask. And they quote the prophet, "And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people." Phrase here, the shepherd my people, this is not for a period of time like all the other descendants of David who were king over Israel. This is shepherd my people without stopping. A perpetual shepherd. Forever shepherd. This is a new kind of king. He's much more, like we said last week, much more than just a descendant of David on the throne here. Something wild and crazy is going on. And then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared, because it had obviously appeared quite a while ago when they started their journey. And he sent them to Bethlehem saying, "Go and search diligently for the child." Not for the baby. Child. And it's a specific word there. "And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." So then Herod demonstrates his real character with a bold-faced lie. "Come back to me when you find him so that I may come and worship him as well." He wasn't going to worship him. He wanted to kill him. He wanted to get rid of this person threatening his throne. And it's a child. "And after listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them." Now it's changed. And from the commentators I was looking at and how this is written and recorded in the Word of God, there seems to be a shift. First it comes up. Here's the initial sign that they respond and they come from the east and they go to Jerusalem and they say, "Where is he going to be born?" They get the answer from the prophets in Bethlehem. So they're ready to go to Bethlehem. And now the stars appear differently. And it goes, went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. So now they do get led by the star differently. How does a star point at just one house? I don't know. But something miraculous, it seems, has really been going on here. And when they see this, when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. They get it. They get it. They understand this. This is a miracle of God, that we are being led in this way. Yes, we know to go to Bethlehem, this big spread out city. But they respond with joy. They know they're being led miraculously, divinely, divine intervention here. And when they recognize this divine guidance, its joy fills them. It's spontaneous. It just erupts. You ever experienced that? Power of God doing something you know people cannot do. And we can't orchestrate it this way. Can you remember some of those stories where God has showed up? You're going, wow, this is amazing. I couldn't have planned this. This is God leading me. He's guiding me. When he confirms, when we've been asking him a question, seeking his guidance, and we get confirmation and confirmation from unexpected sources sometimes. Sometimes we seek it out. We go, and one of our teachers or elders or somebody, we go seek it out. But something comes together and you're going, wow, God is up to something here. He keeps confirming this and gives us a boldness to follow. And so they're filled with this great joy that God is leading them. Maybe sometimes we don't experience more of that because we haven't taken the first step. We've seen the star rise or a similar sign. We've got some sort of awareness. God's up to something over there. And he's calling us to play a role over there. And we haven't taken a step yet. We haven't gone our part. Or we haven't had the humility of the Magi to go to someone, maybe even an unusual someone like King Herod, and go, hey, I'm missing a piece of this story. Where's he to be born specifically? Do we have the humility to come and ask questions? This Magi demonstrate some really godly character here. And God works through them. And going to the house, now it is a house. They're not at the manger scene. Whoa! Almost broke them. Fling! Because they're not actually here. They didn't show up at the manger scene. They look really cool, though, in the decorations, though, right? But they aren't even here. When Jesus is born and in the manger, these guys are still way off in the east, and I'd have to think about which direction's east. But these guys are way over here. They're not at the manger at all. By the time they arrive, this family has moved into a house. Jesus is a young child. Thus, when Herod, he asks them, when did the star appear? And he wanted to know that because this is my challenger for my role as king. And then he goes and kills who? All the children under age two. So up to 2 years previously, they've seen the star, they've responded, headed out on this long journey, and they come to Jerusalem and they ask, where specifically is he to be born? So by the time they get here, he's in a house, he's a young child. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and they worshiped him. Now, because they worshiped Jesus, we'll put him back over here. Because they had a great response. They had a great response to the Savior, and they're part of the Christmas story. They're just not part of the manger scene, but they look good in the setting. We'll bring them back over. They have this incredible response. They worship him. They recognize God is in this. It's divine. And then they open their treasures and they offer to him gold and frankincense and myrrh. These are common gifts at the time, right? We get it with gold because it's still a precious metal. It's beautiful. It's valued. And it was offered as a gift to a king. So were all of these other gifts. Now it's possible, and I think even probable, that there's also a foreshadowing because the myrrh was a spice used in embalming. We'll hear more about that tonight. But all that Jesus is and was and has ever done and will do is tied together. And he breaks into human history in the form of a baby and brings this to an incredible climactic story here that unfolds. But it begins with him breaking into human history specifically. And the Magi got to be a part of that. These wise men got to be a part of that. And they offer him these appropriate gifts for a real king, a true king. And being warned, verse 12, in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. So they also got another message, this time through a dream, much like Joseph had received it through a dream, not to go back to Herod, and they depart to their country by another way. These magi, these wise men, they're outsiders, and yet God invites them into the story. He does this repeatedly through the Old Testament, right? All nations will be blessed through the seed of Abraham. The seed, not seeds, not the actual descendants, the bloodline, the seed. Jesus is the blessing to all nations. We celebrate it at Christmas when God breaks into human history and things are changed forever, forever. And they come humbly. They come humbly. They're willing to ask and seek. And they could hear the message. They were observant. They saw the message and they responded. They obeyed. They heeded that message and traveled. And they traveled again. They kept obeying. And they honored God. They honored Him with expensive royal gifts appropriate for a king. So they worship differently than the shepherds did, but they worship no less, and they praise Him. Would you join me in prayer as we just dwell on this for a few minutes? Heavenly Father, sometimes we who are closest, maybe we who attend church regularly, can miss some of this. We've heard the story enough times. We become complacent and it doesn't change us anymore. It doesn't spur us on to humility. To being attentive to your Spirit and to your Word. Maybe we're just reading your Word complacently. Your written Word that reveals the living Word. Maybe we're complacent in our own prayer lives. Wouldn't it be crazy if at Christmas we are the ones who are missing the Christ? The real celebration of what's going on, of your Emmanuel, you Jesus, coming in human form. And that we would be encouraged to obey and follow you on a journey when we don't have all the answers, but we know the next step. Would you give us the courage to follow? And that we would humbly and expectantly welcome you, Jesus. We welcome you into the chaos of our own hearts. We welcome you into the chaos of our relationships and the uncertainty. We welcome you into our churches, which are such blessings at times and such challenges at other times. We welcome you, Jesus, into our communities, into our province and our country. Dear Lord Jesus, we welcome you into our world. But it starts with welcoming you into our hearts, that we would humbly bow before you. Hear your voice and respond, following you, obeying you, and honoring you in all that we do. Honoring you with all that we are and all that we have is yours already, but just acknowledging and investing it for you, Jesus. May we celebrate you, what you've made possible this season, God. Usher you afresh and anew into this world. We are your body. You came in the body of a baby years ago, Jesus. You send us as your body into the world now. And God, give us that expectancy that you still show up. You still do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. You can change and transform the hardest heart, God. And sometimes you want to do it through our story or through our proclaiming of you. Actually, that's the most common way, God. You awaken us as your church. We would be your body this Christmas. Feed the hungry. Clothe the naked. Love the unlovable as you did, Jesus. Send us. Give us an expectancy. Help us see you and respond for your glory and for the expansion of your kingdom, we pray. Amen.